seem to be swayed more easily with charisma and excitement than they are with plainly stated Bible. If I read a portion of Scripture to you, if I hear it read, if I read it myself looking at it out loud, I'm not going to be moved by it necessarily. I might, but it's not going to be one of those things that grips me like something that is done with excitement. It's a good warning to all of us not to respond too quickly to anything that we listen to but have not verified through Scripture. And let me go a step further. Not everybody is able to verify what they're hearing through Scripture. Some of us may be unfamiliar with the subject matter. Maybe we're not sure where to find that in the Bible. And it sounds good because the way the guy is up there running in circles and telling stories and giving you all this great exciting information that if you don't grab it now, you're going to lose out on it. What do we need to do? You and I need to look at Scripture. We need to verify by what we know in Scripture. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding what is and what is not of God. And if we can't come to that understanding, it would be good then to check with somebody, a spiritual leader that you can trust, somebody that knows, and say, this is what I heard. It sounds great. What do you think? Can you show me from Scripture? There are a few doctrines, by the way, that have notoriously been the targets of false teachers using the sensation. All right, there are a number of them, but let me just put forth the most obvious ones, the most common ones. The end times. Right? You can go to any, quote, Christian bookstore and find books on the end times that are really good, some of them that are okay, and some of them that are just the sensational, this guy had an idea, and he knows he can sell it to Christians. So he writes it, he gets it into a Christian bookstore, and he makes all kinds of money on it, and it is totally useless. The Holy Spirit, unfortunately, is a subject that is all over the place for that type of bizarre teaching. Spiritual gifts, totally misunderstood subject by many people. Angels and demons. That one attracts a certain mindset. A lot of people just say, I don't want to know anything about it, and they keep away from it. But other people are very intrigued on it. We see this book called Demons. It's written in a strange font, and everyone's like, ooh, that's a scary one. I'm going to get that because it reminds me of some horror movie that I saw as a kid or something like that. Wait a minute. They're real. This is the enemy. We shouldn't be attracted to that. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't study it, but we have to be really careful about what we are studying. And then final one I'll call, quote, and I'll put this in quotes, Christian experiences. Should be probably religious experiences. And that includes the foolishness of what people claim that they have had heavenly visits. You don't go to heaven. You don't see heaven. resulted in causing their thinking to go awry. The emotional impact of false teaching threw these people off balance right away. It kept their mind from performing its normal function. Think about what we're saying here. It actually affected their thinking. This devilish ploy, which is part of our spiritual battle, is dangerous, it's common. Instead of the believer allowing truth to direct his thinking, he opens the door for alternative teaching by listening to it or by reading it. And this allows his emotion and or his natural reasoning rather than the spiritual mind to dictate what he believes. And then, eventually, how he lives. So this is a very dangerous thing that's out there. And it's everywhere. We have to be very careful about what we listen to and what we read. And when a person falls into this level of thinking, it becomes very difficult to change that person. Stay with me on this, because again, verse 2 says that he doesn't want them to be so soon shaken in mind. This is what has happened to them. sense of the result of being shaken in mind. So the first one, that's what happened to them. And now he talks about this troubling situation. Once you've bought into the emotion of false teaching, then your mind will begin to affect your entire being. Why? Because this level of fear is going to result in confusion, the further disruption of all other matters, spiritually speaking. When you get false teaching in your life, it's not a matter of, okay, well, I've got this one area that's wrong. It spreads like a disease. And this is what he's describing here. Instead of acting in a reasonable way, instead of leaning on the truths of Scripture, a person caught in this condition will become susceptible to his feelings, to his or somebody else's opinions, to personal doubts, and at that point, he will not allow the plain teaching of Scripture to take priority. Because instead of using a spirit-led mind, he will allow emotion to be his guide, and now you can come with all of the Scripture you want to this person, and he won't see. What happens to a person like this? Their insecure minds make them search for somebody else to listen to. Somebody that will palliate that interest that they have. And then they can sit and listen to this one, and then they'll get another one that'll do the same thing, and get three or four or five or six or a whole group of people and surround themselves with these people that are going to reinforce that false teaching. And that's what they need. And by the way, the information that they receive from these false teachers, they'll accept it even if they know it's not true. Because this is what happens to the mind, the spiritual mind. It says, I don't care. You don't have to prove anything. Just tell me about it. For those in this mindset, the formerly trusted teachers no longer have truth. Don't come to me with your old ways. I don't need to hear that. I found something new. And the established doctrine is no longer absolute. In their place are teachers that tickle their craving ears and doctrine that is fluid, and then anything, even if it's not true, as long as it makes them feel good. And those are the things that Paul described in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That is what is going to happen. That is a frightening place for anybody to be. It's an extremely hazardous place for somebody who calls himself a Christian. Also, very careful about it. Spiritual falsehood is far worse than any other inaccuracy. It affects your spirit, and it is a spiritual problem. It's not an intellectual problem. You can lay out the truths of Scripture with such clarity and logic and sense, and that person will not see it. It's no longer a logical issue or an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual problem. And you're not getting around it the normal way. Here, Satan has a strong hold on that person. He may even have a trap, which is his goal. So, with that in mind, we say, well, then how troubled were these people in Thessalonica? Paul says you're already shaken, and you did that right away by listening to false teaching and accepting it. Then he uses this word trouble. But the wording indicates that even though they had the initial reactions along those lines, this is where they were going, they hadn't quite reached that level yet. This was the next They were on their way to being troubled. They were about to step into the trap that Satan had left for them, but they hadn't sprung it yet. Right, so, thankfully, he is dealing with people that haven't gotten caught. They're on their way there, so it's not going to be easy dealing with them, but they aren't there yet. This trouble, which is the result of being